Well, folks, good morning to you on this Wednesday morning, and thank you indeed for tuning in. We want to just, for a few moments this morning, before maybe you begin your day, and for those of you who maybe through the day are tuning in and watching this little devotional thought, we're just turning again to another one of the minor prophets with no particular order here in mind, but this morning we're just going to read from the book of Micah, Micah 6 and verse 1 till 8. And let me just read it together to you as we read these few verses. Hear ye now that the Lord, what the Lord has said, arise, contend thou with the mountains, before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants, and I sent thee Moses and Aaron and Miriam. O my people, remember how that Balak the king of Moab consulted, and what Balaam the son of Beor answered him from the Shittim unto Gilgal, that he may know the righteousness of the Lord. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord, and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 of rams, or 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. What do we know about this prophet Micah, what we read about here in Micah chapter 6? Well, his name actually means, who is like Jehovah. He came from a frontier town on the Philistine border. The town itself was called Moresheth. This town itself was located roughly about 20 miles southwest of Jerusalem. He was a countryman that God called to preach to a city people. To Micah, God wasn't just someone who was there and in your time of trouble, but to Micah, God was his everything. It's like the wee hymn writer says, "He is my everything, he is my all." And that's, although this hymn was never written, never Micah writ these words, but that's exactly what Micah thought of his God. That's how he felt about his God. That's what he believed about his God. God is my everything. He had an exalted conception of the holiness, the righteousness, and the compassion of God Almighty. Judging by his writings, writes a man called Robert Lee in the Outline Bible, he was a man of wonderful power, of calm and sane judgment, tender-hearted, yet faithful for all. And for all this, he gave God the praise. Micah was a contemporary with Isaiah, Hosea, and Amos. And although they began to prophesy somewhat sooner than he had, even in the days of Uzziah, where very probably he conversed with these prophets, especially Isaiah, with whom he agrees in many things. His style is like his, and sometimes even uses the same phrases. But there's two wee thoughts I just want to leave with you this morning as we consider this little devotional. And it's number one, it's the controversy. The controversy that the Lord has with his people, and the requirements that God asks of his people. What was this controversy? Well, it says there that the Lord was, verse 2 of Micah chapter 6 and verse 2. It says, "For the Lord hath a controversy with his people." Now, it seems a very familiar subject as you read throughout the books of the Old Testament, that over and over again, the people of God always seem to have a problem with how God and where God led them. They always seem to have issues with the way God was dealing with them. For example, they weren't long out of Egypt before they were grumbling about the type of food they were eating and forgot and were quick to remind God and quick to remind Moses of how they'd been eat of some of the better fruits and the better things back in Egypt, and why are we here and eating just of this manna? The people were quick to complain. The people were quick to grumble. The people were quick to forget the goodness, the kindness, the patience, and the long-suffering of God. You could do well you could well understand if God only wanted to harm these people. But what he wanted to do was, it wasn't to harm them, it was to bring them into a place of intimacy, a place of fellowship, a place of, in fact, a place of closeness, a place of holiness with himself. If he longed to continually chasten rather than have communion, you can understand. But what you read here is that God had a controversy with his people. Maybe you're not one that likes controversy, yet there comes those times when as we address certain matters in our lives, we do become controversial figures. When you and I become controversial figures, and sometimes God becomes controversial with us in that he wants to correct us, he wants to chasten us. Here God was trying to get the attention of his people. He is designed to show them the errors of their sinful ways. But yet sadly, like time and time before, they were a people who would rather choose to be disobedient than obedient. They can, and in reality, folks, we know in our own lives that if we are to enjoy God, then undoubtedly enjoy fellowship, enjoy intimacy with God, then in reality God works in our lives for what purpose? That he may produce that fruit of holiness and that fruit that would glorify his name. This morning, as we think of this little thought, I wonder, has God a controversy with us? Is there an issue in my life, an issue in our lives that God just really needs to deal with if we would only let it go? But maybe because of disobedience, we're unwilling to do that. Let me say to you, in fact, Harry Ironside writes on this subject, there can be no fellowship or communion while God's word is not bowed to. He desires truth in the inward parts. Nothing else will satisfy him that is holy and him that is true. And folks, in many ways, the word of God this morning, as we just still our hearts for these few moments, the word of God speaks to us. The word of God challenges us and reminds us of this great, vital, important truth, that God doesn't delight in burnt offering and sacrifices, but he does truly delight in a people whose heart yearns out, satisfies and obeys his truth and follows out after him. Let me say to you secondly, and the last, like, not only there's the controversy he had with his people, but the requirements he asks of his people. He mentions three things here. What doth the Lord require of thee? Micah 6 and 8. But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And here through Micah, God touches on these three home truths for those of us who want to live lives that are pleasing to him. Number one, to do justly. Gill the commentator writes, to do this is to do private and personal justice between man and man. To hurt no man's person, property or character. To give to every man their due and do as he would desire to be done by, which as it is agreeable to the law of God. So to be just and act justly is to do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. Today, as you enter out into the world and you mingle among people, the reality is we will do justly as we treat other people as we would expect to be treated ourselves. To find ourselves, if we all applied this text to our daily living, there would be no place for gossiping tongues. We would not delight when someone fails or falls, and there would be no records of wrong, according to 1 Corinthians 13, to do justly. Today we have an opportunity to fulfill these requirements that God asks of us. The question is, will we do it? Will we be a just people today? Let me say, to love mercy is to do good, is to love goodwill, not to be one who enjoys nursing a grievance or harboring revenge. Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are they, are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Collins Dixon describes this mercy as a compassionate treatment towards an offender or adversary. It would be a terrible thing, folks, if the ungodly got the impression from those of us who are the Church of Christ that we showed no compassion toward each other within the family of God, where we were unwilling to forgive the failures of our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and yet we profess to be forgiven ourselves, to love mercy. God has shown us great mercy. In return, we ought to show mercy to others. Let me say to you thirdly, as we finish this morning, to walk humbly. Humility will always be seen in the man or woman who is truly walking with the Lord. Remember what the scripture says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Out of his wisdom, Robert Morrison of China wrote, the great fault, I think, in our mission is that no one likes to be second. The world has yet to see what could happen if everyone lost the desire to get the glory. Wouldn't it be a marvellous place if nobody cared who got the credit? Dare I say it, if we wrote about the Church of Christ today, I think the great fault, I think, in the church in 2021, when I say the church, we talk the church in generally, is that no one likes to be second. The world has yet to see what could happen if each and every one of us within the assembly, the fellowship where God has placed us, lost the desire to get the glory. Maybe secretly you enjoy a wee bit of praise. Maybe secretly you do enjoy a little bit of thanks. Maybe secretly you do enjoy that wee bit of limelight. Today, God asks you, requires of us, you and I, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. May the Lord bless these thoughts to our hearts today. Thank you for tuning in, and have a great day.